the oldest, but you're stuck with me anyway. And we're doing a series on relationships. And I'm hoping that age has got a bit of perspective to bring to this, and maybe there's something that I can add in tonight that's actually going to be of some help. Our life, in many ways, is the sum of all the relationships we have. We've got, there's marriage relationships, family relationships, but we've got, there's friends, there's colleagues. Wherever you are, there's people. I can't think of too many places where you're not close to being where people are. And that means that wherever you are, there are relationships. And in so many ways, our life is made up. It's the sum of all of that. How we navigate them, what we do with them, how we live it out, how we relate with people, and how we manage it all. So we need to make these relationships work. Last week, Andrew was talking about being that friend who is closer than a brother. And I'm going to confess now that I was sitting there at the very, very beginning of his message as he was kind of going through all the intro stuff, and I probably shouldn't confess this, and I was actually saying, God, how am I going to approach this next week? Now, I know I should have been listening to his intro stuff and really, really concentrating, but I was kind of listening with one ear to Andrew and trying to listen to God with the other. And as I was thinking about it, the very first thing that came into my mind about things that make relationships, and in this case it was harder, was the very first point out of Andrew's mouth, which was about selfishness and being self-focused. And I thought, time to shut up, Heather, and stop being distracted and focus on what the man's got to say last week. And quite separately to that, work out what God wants me to say tonight. Because he obviously had it under control, and he was actually putting out the kind of things that everybody needed to hear. And then Ron this morning starts talking about the Apostle Paul, and it was all his relationships and how he did it. So, and you're a very, what was that you said? I didn't quite catch that. What did you say? Oh, Kurt knows. All right, I'll catch him later and he can fill me in on all of the details. So basically, I'm probably not going to say anything tonight you haven't heard before. But that's okay, because maybe it'll help. I'll just put it together in a way that's going to help people do things. Because it's actually not about how much you're hearing. It's about what you're living out. It's about what you're acting out. It's about what you're doing. So what will make relationships work? And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a colleague at work, a friend at school, a friend on Facebook, whether we're talking about a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whether we're talking about a marriage or a child or a parent, whatever kind of relationship you are talking about, the first thing that you need to have right is who you are on the inside. You are the common denominator in all of your relationships, okay? There's you and your grandma, you and your mom, you and your dad, you and your friends. There's one thing in common with all of those. It's you. You are the common denominator, and you are going to be the key to how the relationships work. Yeah? It's going to be you. And who you are on the inside as a person is going to make the difference between how your relationships function. So what should you be like? We come back to that point Andrew made about selfishness. So many people are self-focused, and they think that a relationship is about what they are going to get out of it, what my friend is going to do for me, what my boyfriend will do for me, what my parents will do for me, what somebody else, what my workmate, what my boss, what somebody else is going to do for me. But that just says I'm focused in on self and meeting my need. But relationship is not about that. Relate, you know, like, It's not just about you anymore. It's actually about you and somebody else, or maybe a whole group of people. So how you are on the inside is just incredibly important on this. How many times, if you've been in our church for a while, have you heard Ron say that when you're talking about marriage and two people coming together, you need two whole people to make a relationship? There's some nodding here. A few people who've been married and Ron's conducted weddings are nodding particularly, largely, what's the right adverb for that? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That'll do. So it's true. We need two whole people. It's no good if you are half empty, all right? two half people doesn't make a whole person. I know my maths is a bit skew-whiff. I became an English teacher for a really good reason. But I submit to you that two half people together make a quarter of a person. Yeah? That makes a quarter of a person when you multiply them together, because it just dilutes it further and further. You need two whole people to make a whole relationship. And it's true with your friends wherever you are. If you are immature, selfish, hurt, then you aren't whole. And whatever you do, you're going to struggle to have good friends and to build positive relationships, because all of the time, because you're not whole on the inside, you are going to be sapping out and draining out of the relationship, because you're going to be waiting for somebody else to build you up instead of being the one that does the building up in a relationship. The Bible, I want to share a few scriptures with you. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. This is how we should be. We should love each other. We should just take delight in honoring each other. We should take delight in spreading that love by giving respect, by giving honor where it's due, by building somebody else up instead of worrying about ourselves and what we need. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, it says, encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. This is how we need to act. You're not going to be able to do that if on the inside you are looking for somebody to build you up. Your job is to build somebody else up, that other person in the relationship. And this can, we can be talking about work, we can be talking about absolutely anywhere you can possibly think of. But you won't be able to do this if you're running on empty yourself. Whatever the reason is, if you're running on empty yourself, you are really going to struggle to be the person who does the building up, because you're going to wake up in the morning and you are going to need building up yourself, and you won't be able to give it out. So you're going to run on empty. You will use it. It'll use you all up if you don't get replenished. Number one way to get replenished is... Thank you, Ashley. Very good. That's outstanding. I'm going to take delight in honoring you. Spend time with God. Okay? You need God. If you've got... I mean, if you can imagine yourself as some sort of a canister or container, and if you've got holes all the way down the side where stuff leaks out, the only way that you're going to replenish that for, I don't know, new plastic to grow up the side or whatever needs to happen to this poor canister is for you to spend time with God. That's how you get replenished. You will be drained out of yourself and by other people around you unless you spend that time with God and allow Him to build you up right from the inside out. It's the only way you can be built up on the inside and have it last. Nothing else actually lasts. But you know, the Word of God endures forever. His mercies are new every morning. I saw Brian put something, I think he wrote something on Facebook this afternoon, and he just, that scripture about the word of the Lord stands forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of the Lord stands forever. Fill your heart with the word of God, because that is the thing that will restore you, that will replenish you. And if you've got holes in the side where stuff leaks out, then do something to fix the holes. All right, you need God to fill you up on the inside. You might need some help for some other people to get some other stuff sorted out. Just go do it. What are you waiting for? Oh, hang on. What would the reason be to wait any longer to fix up whatever things in your life make stuff leak out the side when you can be whole and healed and replenished and living in positive relationships? Yeah? I think sometimes we're afraid that if we try to fix the holes, something worse is going to happen. But, like, it doesn't even make sense, does it? You fix something, it gets better. It doesn't get worse. But we get afraid that something worse is going to happen. And so we get a bit nervous about it. I was thinking about examples for this, about people who weren't whole. I don't know whether you need any or not. And I'll probably run out of time. I'll probably talk for too long. But we have been known in our house, and I'm dubious about it, I must say. But episodes of Friends do get screened in our home quite often. Now, if you want an example of the most dysfunctional, holy as in holes all the way down the side, selfish, ridiculous people, it's got to be that lot. they are so focused. All they think about, every single one of them, is just about themselves and what they can get out of relationships. Apart from all of the sleeping around, they lie and cheat and manipulate every situation possible because everything they do, it's all about themselves and what they themselves can get out of a relationship. It is a very bad example to follow, all right? A very, very bad example. But a good one to think about if you want to think about, well, what does dysfunctional look like? And yet that gets, I mean, gets held up as something fun and something to laugh at. And it's, you know, you can have a laugh at some of the things they do. But they are so self-absorbed, it's just ridiculous. And have you noticed their relationships don't function? How many times has Ross been married? I mean, it's just, it's just ridiculous. Okay, the second point I want to make. So the first one is who you are on the inside. The second one is who do you allow to influence you? Who are the people that influence you and how does all of that come into your life? Now, I used to say to my children, and I had this theory, which for the slightly more mature amongst you who know who this person is, I got it from James Dobson. All right. And James Dobson used to say, if there's really, really important things you want to tell your kids, you've got to tell them before they hit puberty because they're not going to listen to you for the whole of that teenage period. So you have to have got the message in when they were much, much younger. So working on this theory, I used to say to my children over and over and over again, especially when they were about 10 or 11 years of age, the decision you make about the person you marry is the most important decision you will make in your life aside from the decision to follow Jesus. This is because it will make the difference between whether you live life as an adult happy or you end up miserable somewhere along the line because it all breaks down and it's a disaster. So I used to try and drum this into my children. I must say that Luke has done outstandingly well in this regard. He's the only one who's married, so I'm not going to say anything about anybody else. But, you know, the decisions you make about your friends are so important. Who do you fill your life with? I mean, get it into your head now. Who am I surrounding myself with? Who do I have with me? Who do I spend my time with? How am I focused? What sort of people? What are they like? Now, many years ago, Ron and I used to go to lots of conferences, still do, I suppose. And I can remember Brian Houston saying some things in this area. And to be honest, we really struggled with it at the time. Because Brian really talked about making sure that you've got friends who are people who are ahead of you. Actually sounds awfully like what Ron said in his message this morning. And I was actually thinking I was going to use this as an example. About having people who are ahead of you as friends, not people who are behind you. Not the people who are maybe not so successful in life and not as happy and not as good at everything. And not being friends with those people, but being friends with people who are successful, people who are ahead, people who are living out the dream, I guess, that you want to do. And it used to kind of grade us up the wrong way a little bit. And the reason is, and I'll show you some scriptures, because the Bible says things like this. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. So I used to listen to somebody saying, make sure you make friends with people who are ahead of you and who are successful. And I used to react a bit on the inside. And I think, but what about this? I've got to be friends with ordinary people. I've got to be willing to be friends with absolutely anybody at all. And in James chapter 2, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you stand over there or sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? There's another scripture there, guys, which we might just skip over. And this is how I used to react. When Brian was saying, make sure your friends are not the people who are behind you, who are needy and who need help and who are negative and who are small-minded, but your friends are the people who are ahead of you, who are successful, who are achieving. I used to think about verses like that and think about poor people and think, that can't be right. I'm meant to be. I know that Jesus wants me to be the friend of sinners. Jesus wants me to be friends with people who are down and out and not successful and their life isn't working out. And that's they're the very kind of people that Jesus wants me to be friends with. But it sunk into my thick head eventually that being friends with somebody and who you allow to speak into your life is quite different to people who you minister to and people who you help. This can all be true, but you know, sometimes it's actually an excuse for us to not build relationships with people who will really help us. Because sometimes the people who are ahead of us, the people whose life is together, the people who are the ones who are an example to us that seem far away sometimes, sometimes the thought of getting close to them is a bit scary because they might challenge us. They might challenge some of our negative attitudes. They might be the ones that actually speak to us about our bit of small-minded thinking and stir us up to get off our backside and to be doing something different to the way that we are now. So I'm not saying don't be friends with people who are hopeless and no good. But what I'm saying to you is, who are you actually allowing to influence your life? Are you using relationships like that as a prop to you because you feel good? Oh, duh, there's that selfishness again. Even the people who I'm being friends with are actually to make me feel better about myself. Or am I actually allowing people to influence me and speak into my life who are ahead of me, who are further down the road, who have done something that inspires and challenges me and is actually going to lift me from where I am and take me into a stronger place, yeah? We okay? 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, bad company corrupts good character. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one. Do your relationships make you better? Or have you got relationships in the whole suite of all the ones you've got that actually drag you down and actually make you smaller on the inside and make you less of a person? In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. Yeah, walk with the wise and become wise. I've got a bit of a rule. I enjoy Facebook. I love seeing what you're all getting up to. But I tell you what, one negative comment goes up there in that face, that news feed that comes into me, and I delete you from my news feed. I don't want to hear the negatives. I don't want to hear how depressed, how miserable, how rotten everything is all around you. I keep listening to Adrian. I keep looking. He's still in my news feed. Even follow him on Twitter because it's full of being positive and being encouraging. Life's hard enough without opening Facebook and hearing negativity from every person you know. Yeah? It's the same. I think it's who I've got selected a lot. Twitter seems a lot more positive sort of environment than Facebook does, but it is partly because there's a lot of people who you follow on Twitter who've got really great things to say. But think about that. You can choose who you follow because people, you know, if you're on Twitter and you're following somebody like, I don't know, Craig Groeschel or Darlene Check or Bobby Houston or whoever, I'm speaking as a girl here, I maybe gave some more girl examples in that little broad brush. But there's people who will, there's things that people will say positively into your life every day. You can wake up every morning and read a line that inspires you from Joyce Meyer or Darlene Check, or you can just go and talk to some friends or have some other people being really miserable and negative. Now, you don't have to go on Twitter at all if you don't want. That's perfectly fine. But, you know, we make a choice about who we follow in those situations. What about at work? Who do you hang out with? Is your best friend at work the person who's negative and critical and wants to gossip about everybody else and tear them all down and talk about how horrible that person is over there? Or are you friends with the most positive people who want to lift up and encourage? And if there aren't any in your workplace, then how are you positioning yourself? Are you the person who's positioning yourself to shut down all of that kind of negative talk and everything else that's happening? What are you like with your friends at church? What are you like in your family? Do you position yourself, do you put yourself in the place where the people who you are best friends are the depressed, negative, miserable, oh, poor me ones? Or are you putting yourself in a position where the people are the ones who will challenge you, stir you up, move you forward? Yeah? Choose who you follow. Choose who is influencing your life and make sure that your friends are the ones who are going to be building you up so you are looking forward. This is important in relationships. You want positive relationships with people who are going to build you up. The people who are tearing you down are honestly not worth having as your best friend. Now, that doesn't mean that if you've got a friend going through a rough time, you don't stick with them. That's not what I'm saying. Hear my heart on this. It's who are you allowing to influence you and make and influence the kind of decisions and things that you make. I'm going to skip the next bit because I'm running out of time. Number three. The third thing is what you do together. What you do together. Now, the other thing about friends is that we get this idea that friends and family are people who you can chill out and relax and do nothing with. Good. It's good to chill out and relax and do nothing some of the time. But God made us to work. He made us to do things. Life is not made up of the sit back, do nothing, chill out moments. What do you do with your friends? What are the things in your relationships that you are doing that build together? We value the chill out, relax moment, but can I say to you that that's got a lot to do with the self-focus? That's, oh, I just want to do nothing for a while. I just want to sit back and relax. But we build relationships as we work together, as we put our hand to the plow together, as we experience and do every aspect of life together. We need a goal with our friends and with our partners because it's not really going to cut it if we don't have somewhere that they're going. If you are idle, if you are doing nothing, this is when trouble happens. Yeah? If you're doing nothing, this is when trouble comes. Boys and girls in a room together doing nothing and nobody else there, that's when trouble is going to hit physically. Yeah? People hanging out at work, nothing to do. How do you get a workplace like that? I'll have to think about that. but it's when you're doing nothing that you fill the gap with being negative about other people. Yeah? Okay? If you're hanging around waiting for those chill out moments, and that's the life, it's the sum of the chill out moments, you will find in those idle times, that's when you get into trouble. It's in the idle time that you end up watching a movie that you shouldn't have been watching. It's in the idle time that you end up looking at something on the internet that you never should have opened up and never should have seen. The way you use your downtime can be your downfall. In your relationships, get a goal, work together, do something, have a goal, do something concrete together. That's the purpose. We were actually made not just to chill out together, but to actually serve God and work together to build something great in His kingdom, not just for chilling out. Okay? You getting what I'm saying there? Ron and I, before we even started going out together, were friends who had a vision for our church. And we shared the same heart for what we wanted to see happen in the kingdom of God in that place. And we actually started out in our relationship working together. And all of our contact initially in our whole relationship was about doing stuff for church and about praying for church or about believing for something there. And we built the foundation of almost 28 years of marriage on actually working together on a common goal and something that we wanted to achieve. You don't build it just on the chill out moments, because in the idle moments, that's when you're going to find yourself in trouble. Yeah? that's when you're going to find yourself in trouble. Ron was talking about them this morning. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, great examples of friendships in the Bible. But what were they doing? They were working together. Why did Paul and Silas end up in prison, praising God, having this amazing God moment building into their friendship that we still read about it today? It's because they were preaching the gospel together. They weren't home watching television, okay? They were actually doing something together. Your relationships, your friendships, your marriage, your family, whatever it is, you're meant to actually be knitted together and achieving a goal, forging towards a united vision and a united purpose. Yeah? So these three things, who you are on the inside, who you allow to influence you, and what you do together. These are the things that are going to build positive relationships. Whether we're talking about marriage, family, friendship, work, it doesn't matter where you're talking about it. I believe these things are going to apply in every situation. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of relationships. Lord, that you didn't design any one of us to be alone, but you wanted us to be in unity with each other. You wanted us, Lord God, to have friends, to work in teams, to build relationships, whether it's in marriage and family, Lord God, or whether it's in friendships or as we serve you together in the kingdom of God or in our workplace or our school or wherever it is, Lord God, you designed us to be in relationship with each other. Father God, we just pray that you would help us to be whole people, Lord God, who have got our eyes focused in the right place. Lord, help us to make friends with people that are going to be the ones who influence us in the right direction. Lord, we're here and we stand willing to help anybody who needs it, Lord God. But let us allow the people who speak and influence our lives to be the ones that are going to lift us up and take us forward. And Father, I pray that you will help us to work together, not just to allow the idle moments to come in and sap away, Lord God, but to get a great vision with our friendships and in our workplaces, in our marriages and families, Lord God, a great vision of how we can work together to serve you and towards a common goal. Father, I pray that you bless every person here tonight. Lord, that each one of them would be challenged and inspired. If there's bits and pieces in relationships, if there are people who they know they need to shift from, oh, that person is really influencing me negatively, I need to change, then, Lord, I pray that you would really help us tonight to have the boldness and the courage to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I wonder, all of this discussion here tonight too, it may be that there's some people here who have never actually committed their life to God in the first place. And so the whole understanding of godly relationship is maybe a bit odd, a bit uncomfortable, I don't know. But you know that you need to get yourself right with God as the first point in getting relationships sorted out. And so maybe there's some here who would like tonight just to pray with us. And we've got a prayer. I think these guys are going to put it up on the screen. And let's pray it together. If you want to give your heart to God tonight and say, this is first base for me and I want to take that step so I'm getting all of those foundations right in my life. Let's just pray it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. If you prayed that tonight and you want to find out more about it, then talk to the person who came with you or grab one of our hosts. We've got a booklet for you up at the back table, which is going to, it's full of jam-packed full of great studies that are going to help you to grow and understand more about what it means to be a Christian. So grab hold of one of these tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I'll take these bits. My lovely daughter.